الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. The title of this lecture is The 25 Promises of Allah to the Believers. The idea for this lecture started when I was thinking about what to talk about. So an idea came to mind, and that's to go through the Quran and see what Allah has promised الذين آمنوا. So I went through the ayat to see what did Allah promise المؤمنين or الذين آمنوا. Whenever an ayah would mention الذين آمنوا or المؤمنين, I would look at what would Allah promise them. So I didn't look at what Allah promised المتقين. I didn't look at what Allah promised الذاكرين. I just looked at what Allah promised الذين آمنوا, the believers. And I came up with 25 promises of Allah to the believers. So Allah has promised them a lot. And when Allah promises you something, you have to take it for granted. That if you are a believer, it will happen. And if it doesn't happen, then there's a problem with my belief. Problem with Iman. Because Allah Azza wa Jal does not ever not fulfill His promise. وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. Allah will never forsake His promise. So what does Allah promise the believers? We're starting from the end. It's now the beginning. That is Jannah. A lot of these promises relate to dunya, but this promise is Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but give glad tidings to those who believe and work righteousness, that their portion is gardens, beneath which rivers flow. Every time they are fed with fruits therefrom, they say, why? This is what we were fed with before, for they are given things in similitude, and they have therein companions pure and holy, and they abide therein forever. The promise of Allah Azza wa Jal to the believers of giving them Jannah is sufficient. We don't need to talk about the other 24. Just this one is enough. Because when you think about what Jannah is about, compared to what dunya is, and compared to the other option, which is Jahannam, this is sufficient. In fact, this is more than what you asked for. And it's more than what you deserve. Rasulullah ﷺ says that no one will enter Jannah except through the mercy of Allah. Our deeds do not qualify us for that. If it isn't for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, our deeds wouldn't even qualify us for a second in Jannah. Because Rasulullah ﷺ says in the hadith, on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will bring the believer who suffered the most in this dunya, and Allah Azza wa Jal will dip that believer in Jannah for one moment. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will ask him, oh my servant, did you ever feel any suffering in your life? He'll say, oh Allah, I've never felt any suffering at all. So one moment in Jannah is sufficient to make him forget all of the pain and suffering of the dunya. While on the other hand, Rasulullah ﷺ says Allah will bring the non-believer who had the best life in this world, and Allah Azza wa Jal will dip him in Jahannam for one moment and tell him, oh my servant, did you ever have any enjoyment in your life? He will say no. One moment in Jannah is sufficient to make him forget all of the enjoyment that he had in dunya. Rasulullah ﷺ described Jannah to us. And after he gave an elaborate description, he said, فيها ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. In Jannah are things an eye has never seen, an ear has never heard, and a mind can't even imagine. Think about Jannah as you like, as much as you want. You're not going to get there. It's way above all of your expectations. Watch the best Hollywood movie that talks about pleasure and enjoyment. It's not going to be a fraction of what you'll get in Jannah. Rasulullah ﷺ saw it with his own eyes, and he tried to describe it the best he could. But he knew very well that the Sahaba wouldn't be able to give it the right estimate, because if you didn't see it, you cannot imagine it. The language can't even express it. Our language will fail to express what is in Jannah. Even if you try to think about it, you can't comprehend it. For example, you can understand what a million means. You can understand what a billion means. But what does infinity mean? So when it says that you're going to live in Jannah forever, you're never going to die. There is no end. Your mind cannot understand that. Do you know the implications of that? Do you know the implications of living in Jannah forever? It means that if you see something that you like in Jannah, for example, you're walking next to this river and you see this bird on the river and you like it, you could just sit there and watch this bird for a million years. What's the problem? You don't have any appointments? You don't have any work? You're free to do whatever you want. You want to stay there and watch it for a million years? It's up to you. You read about the story of Musa in Quran and you want to know more about it, you can make an appointment with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and go and spend a few years with him. It wouldn't be a few moments, sorry, I'm busy, I can't spend a lot of time with you. Spend as much time as you want. You can go and spend time with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As much time as you want. He's not in a hurry, neither are you. When you think about the territories that you'll be given in Jannah, Rasulullah ﷺ talks about the lowest level in Jannah. And Rasulullah ﷺ says that the last man to enter Jannah, this lowest level, this poor man who is at the bottom of the ladder, he owns 10 times the earth and everything in it. So the lowest person in Jannah is at a level where the highest person in dunya that ever lived can't even dream of. Because there's nobody on the face of the earth who ever ruled over the whole earth. You know, all of these kings, when you look at their dominion, it's nothing. I mean, you own a piece of property in London, you think that you're the top of the world. You're willing to work your whole life and deal with interest and do haram just to own a small plot of land, when all what you have to do to get a mansion in Jannah is to pray 2 rak'ah of nafil a day. 12 rak'ah of nafil a day, 2 before Fajr, 4 before Dhuhr, 2 after Dhuhr, 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Isha, build you a palace in Jannah. That's all. And Allah has promised the believers Jannah. Number 2. Jannah is 1, so this one is 2. Allah promises you life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعى نورهم بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم بشراكم اليوم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ذلك هو الفوز العظيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one day shall you see the believing men and the believing women, how their light runs forward before them and by their right hands. Their greetings will be good news for you this day, gardens beneath which flow rivers to dwell therein, for this is indeed the highest achievement. On the Day of Judgment, it will be dark, and you'll be asked to cross over a bridge that is thinner than hair, sharper than a razor blade. And there's no light. So it's impossible, unless you're given light by Allah. This light that Allah will give you, the power of the light will depend on how much light was in your heart in dunya. So this light which is in the heart, which is not a physical light, a spiritual light, will come on the Day of Judgment in a physical form. Will have a powerful beam, thousands of watts. Some people will have a 100 watt lamp, some people will have a 40, some people will have a small bulb. Some people will have such a small bulb that it goes on and off, the circuit is so weak, the battery needs charging. Depending on how much Iman was in the heart, Iman will come on the Day of Judgment in the form of light. Some people, they will have so much light that they could just run over the bridge like breeze, so fast. While some of them can run, some of them can walk. Some of them, they will have to take a step and then stop until they get light again, and they will take another step. While some of them will start walking on a sirat, but their light is not sufficient to take them through, so they'll fall. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who will reach to Jannah. The Iman that is in your heart today will be your light tomorrow. So you make up your mind on how much light you want to have. Number three, Allah will be with you.
وَإِن تَعُودُوا نَعُدْ وَلَن تُغْنِيَ عَنْكُمْ فِئَتُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ كَثُرَتْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Allah Azza wa Jal says, for verily Allah is with those who believe. When Allah is with you, what does that mean? It means that you don't need anybody else. Musa and Harun were asked by Allah to go and meet Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salam said that وَلَهُمْ عَلَيَّ ذَنْبٌ فَأَخَافُ أَن يَقْتُلُونَ. I've committed a crime, so I'm afraid that they would kill me. Musa killed someone in Egypt by mistake. However, the injustice system of Fir'aun sentenced him to execution. They decided that he was guilty of murder, so they wanted to execute Musa. Musa ran away. He flew to Egypt. Now Allah is telling Musa to go back. Not just to go back, but to go back and go to Fir'aun. Not just visit Fir'aun, but to go and tell Fir'aun, listen, you're wrong. And you have to follow me. So obviously Musa was concerned, alayhi salam. So he told Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّنَا نَخَافُ, Musa and Harun said, إِنَّنَا نَخَافُ أَن يَفْرُطَ عَلَيْنَا أَوْ أَن يَطْغَى. We fear that he could harm us or transgress against us. What did Allah Azza wa Jal tell them? لَا تَخَافَ إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Do not fear, because I am with you. I hear and I see. I am with you. Why are you afraid? I will be with you. احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Be mindful of Allah. Allah will be mindful of you. Be mindful of Allah. You will find Allah with you. If you think about Allah, Allah will think about you. See, الجزاء من جنس العمل. The payback is according to the deed. If you think about Allah, Allah will think about you. If you forget about Allah, Allah will forget about you. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They neglected the dhikr of Allah, so Allah neglected them. تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَرَّخَ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشَّدَّةِ. Get to know Allah in moments of ease, Allah will know you in moments of difficulty. وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ هُدَى. You see guidance, Allah will give it to you. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. They're plotting, so Allah is plotting against them. Allah will give you according to what you're doing. إِنَّ شَيْتَ إِلَيَّ أَهَرْوَلْتُ إِلَيْكَ. If you walk towards Allah, Allah will run towards you. You take one step towards Allah, Allah will take many steps towards you. Allah will give you what you deserve and more. If it's good, And if it's not, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish you strictly for the sin. So Allah will be with you if you're a believer. 4. The grace of Allah.
وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةَ ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَفَا عَنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allah is full of grace to those who believe. You know, you believe in Allah, but Allah Azza wa Jal is so generous, so He gives you more than what you worked for. He gives you much more. Musa alayhi salam, for example, he is lost in the desert. This is before he became a Nabi. Before he became a Nabi. And this is the story of how he became Nabi. So Musa is lost in the desert. Musa alayhi salam is trying to find his way. It's very cold, night, windy. And suddenly he sees a fire. Apparently only he could see the fire. His wife couldn't. So he said, لَعَلِّي آتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِقَبَسٍ أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدًى. He said, I'm going to go next to that fire, so I could bring you some fire, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَصْطَلُونَ, to warm up in this hot, in this cold night. Or أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدًى, I could find some guidance there. Because when you see fire in the desert, what does it mean? Most likely there's some people there, it's a bonfire. And if there are people there, I could ask him for directions. I'm lost. I don't know where to go. So Musa is lost. He wants to get direction. So he goes there. All what he wants, he's going to be very happy if Allah Azza wa Jalla helps him by finding somebody there to give him directions. So he goes to that fire and he does find directions, but not directions to Egypt. He finds directions to Jannah. He goes there, and that's when Allah Azza wa Jal speaks to Musa and gives him prophethood. So Musa was looking for something, Allah gave him something better. Or with Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba when they went out for Badr. They had no idea what they're facing. So Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba, they were in pursuit of a caravan belonging to Quraysh. They wanted to raid a caravan, take its belongings, to compensate for the wealth of the Muhajirun that was taken in Mecca. That's all what Rasulullah ﷺ wanted. And here they are, they end up facing the army of Quraysh. And it turns out to become the most important battle with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba wanted the ghanima, they ended up getting victory and ghanima. So it is fadl from Allah. You want something limited, Allah gives you something more. Allah gives that to the believers. It's fadl from Allah.
Number 5. The wilayah of Allah. Allahu Akbar.
Inna awla an-nasi bi Ibrahima lalladhina ittaba'uhu wa hadha an-nabiyyu walladhina amanu wallahu waliyyul mu'minin.
Without doubt, among men, the nearest of kin to Ibrahim are those who follow him, as are also this prophet and those who believe. And Allah is the protector of those who have faith. Allah is saying that He is the wali of the believers. Wali means friend, protector. A believer has Allah as their wali. Therefore the believer does not need anyone else besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. If Allah is your wali, who else would you need? Why would a Muslim seek the wilayah of a mushrikeen or of al Yahud wa Nasara when Allah gives you the option? You want to be my wali, all what you have to do is believe. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of His awliya. Because Rasulullah ﷺ says in the hadith of Al Qudusi, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضته عليه ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها ولئن سألني لأعطينه ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه. Allah says in this hadith al-Qudsi, if anybody takes my wali as an enemy, I would wage war against him. Allah Azza wa Jalla has only waged war twice. He has waged war against the ones who deal with interest, and Allah has waged war against the ones who take his friends as enemies. And then it says, and the best thing you would do to be loved by Allah is by fulfilling the duties, the mandatory, the fara'il. And then the more you do voluntary deeds, the closer you become to Allah, until you become so close that Allah becomes your eye which you see with, and your ear which you hear with, and your hand which you use, and your foot that you walk with. And if you ask Allah, Allah will give you. And if you seek refuge in Him, He will help you. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of His awliya. Number five, the mercy of Allah. You see, Allah is merciful. Very merciful. You could have mercy, but the name of Allah is Ar-Rahim. So the mercy of Allah is on a different level. And to give you an analogy, for example, you know, so that we have a right understanding of the names of Allah. Because some of the names of Allah are attributes that we could describe humans with. So Allah is Al-Kareem, but you could also be Kareem. Allah is Ar-Rahim, you could also be Rahim. But it means a different thing. To give you an example, let's say that you have a child, and you have a friend, and you have a very wealthy friend, and then you also happen to be the friend of a president or a king. If your son comes up to you and gives you half of his chocolate bar, the whole half, you're going to say, man, you gave me half of your chocolate bar. But if your friend comes to you and gives you half of the chocolate bar, that's okay. I mean, you wouldn't consider it to be generosity. But if your friend gives you £100, you're going to consider him to be generous. Now, your millionaire friend, if he comes up to you and say, and you want to borrow money from him and he gives you £100, you're going to think that this guy is stingy. He's wealthy, man. He should give me £1,000. Now, you go, he gives you £1,000, and you say, all right, he's okay. So you go then to the king and you say, we're so close, we're just like this, I mean, I need your help. He gives you £1,000. You're going to say, I mean, what is this? You need to give me £100,000. You need to give me a huge mansion. So how come? Now, imagine if the king gives you, go and ask him for some help and he gives you half a chocolate bar. How come with the child you considered it to be generosity, but you didn't consider it to be with the king? Because the capability of the king and the ability of the king is much different than your son. So with your son, all what your son has to do is give you half a chocolate bar, and he would consider your son to be very generous. But with the king, he has to give you much more. So when Allah Azza wa Jal tells you that He is generous, that is on a level that you can't even fathom. When Allah says that He is Kareem, Al-Kareem, it means the pinnacle, the peak of Karam. When Allah says that He is Rahim, it is the peak of Rahmah, mercy. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلَ الْأَعْلَى. So Allah is merciful with the believers. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَيُدْخِلُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْمُبِينَ. Then as to those who believed and did righteous deeds, their Lord will admit them to His mercy. That will be the achievement for all to see. And you know, brothers and sisters, if we have any sisters with us, sometimes as a mu'min you feel that you're under a lot of pressure. So you feel the need of having someone being merciful towards you. And when you look at what has happened to Muslims worldwide, you really value mercy. You want mercy. This ummah is hungry for mercy. This ummah is hungry for justice. So when Allah Azza wa Jal tells you that I will have mercy on you, and that is the great achievement, that would mean a lot to the believer. When Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Allah Azza wa Jal has split mercy into 100 portions, one out of 100, one portion out of 100 was distributed over the whole world. And that is the mercy that a mother would have on her child, whether it is human or animal or... And Allah has reserved 99 portions for the Day of Judgment. Every act of mercy that you find on earth is part of 100, while 99 parts are reserved for the Day of Judgment. Allahumma adkhilna fi rahmatik. Oh Allah, we ask you for your mercy. We are in dire need for the mercy of Allah. Number 6. And that is something that we look forward to, and we always think about, and we ask Allah to give to this ummah, and that is victory. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
إِنَّا لَنَنصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ.
We will without doubt help our messengers and those who believe in this world's life and on the Day of Resurrection. And another ayah, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And it is due from us to give victory to those who believe. This ummah wants victory, and Allah Azza wa Jal promised it to the believers. So the moment we get our belief right, Allah Azza wa Jal will give this ummah victory. It is a promise from Allah. But we shouldn't be in a hurry. We should be patient. When one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum went through a lot of suffering, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kneeling on a Kaaba. So this companion came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, ala tastansiru lana? O Messenger of Allah, aren't you going to ask Allah to give us victory?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat straight, and he was very upset, and he said that the nations before you, they were persecuted. So they would bring one of them, and they would place the saw on top of his head, and they would cut him into two pieces, and he would not give up his religion. And they would bring someone, and they would comb them with combs of iron that would separate between the flesh and the bone, and they would not give up their religion. In the name of Allah, this religion will be victorious until a traveler goes from Sana'a to Hadramaut, fearing no one but Allah and the wolf on their sheep, but you are a people who are in a hurry. Allah will give this ummah victory. Now this companion, whom this hadith was told to, he didn't go through some light punishment. He went through a lot. Because in the time of Umar ibn Khattab, he was asking the Sahaba al-Muhajirun what they went through. So all of the Sahabi did, without speaking, he just uncovered his back. So Umar looked at his back and he said, "I never saw something like this. What happened to you?" He said, "The mushrikeen of Quraysh would burn rocks over fire for a very long time. And then they would throw me on my naked back over these rocks. So my flesh would burn and I would smell my fat burning. So it left some very black, deep holes in his back." And Rasulullah ﷺ is telling him that you shouldn't be in a hurry, you should be patient. What have we went through? Allahu Akbar, we're living a very comfortable and easy life. We haven't been through anything. So we shouldn't be in a hurry. We should be willing to pay the price. That's the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So be patient, and the victory of Allah Azza wa Jal is on its way. It's a promise from Allah Azza wa Jal, and we know that it will happen. If it doesn't happen in our time, it will happen in our children's time. But it's going to happen. Number 7, Allah Azza wa Jal will erase their evil. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَحْسَنَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
Those who believe and work righteous deeds, from them shall we blot out all evil that may be in them, and we shall reward them according to the best of their deeds. You see, Jannah is pure. So it can only admit someone who is pure. Jannah and impurity cannot go together. See, in this dunya things are mixed up. Everything is contaminated. But in Akhirah, it's pure good or evil, hellfire. So Jannah can only admit you unless you're purified. But the problem is, there is none among us who's free of sin. So we are all contaminated, every one of us. So how can we get cleaned up? How can we wash away these sins? Allah Azza wa Jalla promises that with the believers, He will erase some of their sins. There are various ways of doing that. Tawbah is one, istighfar is another, illnesses and diseases you go through, the suffering of the grave, sakarat al-maut, the pain and suffering of the Day of Judgment. And if all of that is not enough, then a person would have to spend some time in hellfire until they're cleansed. So there must be a cleaning process. But with some people, Allah Azza wa Jalla loves them so much. And Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to show them His favor on them. So Allah will make some of their sins in dunya hidden. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will make these same sins hidden on the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talks about a man who will come on the Day of Judgment and will be given his book of deeds. So this man, his knees are shaking because he knows what he did. So he's flipping through the pages of his life. He goes through them one by one and he sees a lot of sins. And then he reaches to the end of the book and there's plenty of sins in there, but he realizes that there's some big ones that were left out. So he asks Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, "Oh Allah, there's some things that I did that I don't see here." Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell him, "Oh my servant, I've concealed them for you in dunya and I'm going to conceal them for you today. Nobody's going to know about it. This is between me and you. It's not going to even show up in your account." So it's a transaction that is outside the book completely. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is not even showing it to you. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will make sitr on the believer. As long as the believer makes sitr on himself. So if you have committed a sin, a mistake, and nobody knows about it, don't go around speaking about it. Ask Allah for tawbah, make istighfar, and move on. As long as you made istighfar with sincerity and you repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah is willing to erase anything. What more mercy do you want? When a man of Banu Israel who has killed 99 innocent human beings, look at this criminal, a serial killer, he killed 99 human beings. But even though this man was such a criminal, a cold-blooded killer, there was still some good lurking in his heart. So he wanted to know if he can make tawbah. But he knows that his situation is so bad that there might even not be a chance for him to do so. So he wants to go and ask. So he says, I want to ask a question. Can you show me somebody who has knowledge?" They showed him somebody who was an abid. He wasn't a scholar. So he goes to this abid. This abid is somebody who is very involved in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he looks down upon sins and he frowns upon these major sins. So this man goes to him and tells him, I've killed 99 human beings. Can Allah forgive me? He said, what have you done? Allah can never forgive such a person. What does he do? He kills him. It shows you how terrible the situation of this man was. Because he didn't like this fatwa, he ended up killing the man. That's how easy killing was to him. That's how simple it was to take away a life, a sacred life of a human being. And he's killing a abid, somebody who's close to Allah. He just killed him because he didn't like his opinion. But still there was some good in his heart. He wants to try again. This time, they direct him to the right person, a scholar. He goes to the scholar and asks him. The scholar tells him, who can stand between you and Tawbah? Who is it who can prevent you from Tawbah? Allah will accept your Tawbah, but you have to leave this town because this is a town of evil. And you have to go to that other town because there are good people over there who will assist you in worshipping Allah. So the scholar said, yes, you have a chance, you have a hope. However, everything in this town is reminding you with sin. You will associate these memories. And that will keep on that cycle of sin going on. So you have to change your environment. So this man left. He sacrificed and he made hijrah. And he left. It was the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jalla that he dies before he reaches the other town. So the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment come down. And each one of these angels is claiming his soul. The angels of punishment say he belongs to us because he did not reach the other town yet. So he should go to hellfire. While the angels of mercy say no, he belongs to us because he came out with the intention of Tawbah. And they couldn't solve this dispute. So Allah Azza wa Jalla sends down another angel to solve the dispute among them. So this angel comes and says, the way you solve this problem is you measure the distance between the place where he died and his original town. And you measure the distance between the place where he died and the other town. If you find him closer to his town, then he should go to hellfire. If you find him closer to the other town, the town of Tawbah, then he goes to Jannah. This hadith is in Bukhari. Rasulullah ﷺ says he was actually closer to his town. So where does he belong? He belongs to hellfire. But Rasulullah ﷺ says, when the angels were measuring the distance, Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the earth to change its dimensions. So the distance between him and his town was expanded, and the distance between him and the other town was retracted. So when they measured the distance, they found him closer to the town of Tawbah, so he went to Jannah. Allah Azza wa Jal could have made him die closer to the other town, right? He could have died closer to the other town. But Allah Azza wa Jal wants to show us how willing he is to give mercy on his servant who wants Tawbah, who wants forgiveness. That Allah Azza wa Jalla is willing to change the dimensions of the earth, the permanent dimensions of the earth, Allah is willing to change them just so that He can give forgiveness and grant Tawbah to His servant. So what can stand you between you and Tawbah? Nothing. Ask Allah for forgiveness, He will forgive you. Make Tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jalla and He will accept it. As long as you repent and you feel sorry for what you've done. Because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ النَّدَمُ, that Tawbah is regret. The most important element of Tawbah is to feel sorry for what you've done. And then you ask Allah Azza wa Jal and be assured that Allah Azza wa Jal is merciful and forgiving. And dear brothers and sisters, if you've attended any of my talks previously, it's probable that you've already heard this hadith from me. I've repeated this hadith so many times. But the reason is because I'm delivering these talks in a Western country where Muslims are surrounded with evil from every direction, where a Muslim feels it difficult to follow religion. So what happens sometimes is that you break and you fall. There's good in your heart, but the pressure around you is too much. So you end up descending deep in this dungeon of darkness, this endless pit. And it's taking you away and away from the religion until you reach to a level where you think that you are too dirty to become a Muslim. Where you're too low. Where you're too degraded to become a servant of Allah. So you kind of give up. You try to get away from the sin, but it's always pulling you towards it. But I think that this story tells you that you should never lose hope. You never ever lose hope. Keep on trying. If you lose this battle, if you lose this battle with shaitan, keep on going. You might end up losing the second battle. But the most important thing is that you don't lose the war. Keep on fighting. One day is for you, the other day is against you. But Allah will reward you for that effort. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا The ones who strive in our cause, Allah will guide them. Keep on trying. Pull yourself out of that pit hole until you can stand up strong on your feet. And follow the advice of the scholar. Leave the environment of sin. Leave it behind you. Stick around with the brothers who can help you. The sisters also should support each other. Brothers, you support each other. Because you're living in a different, difficult environment. So sisters, you assist each other, the brothers assist each other, and get over try to avoid the bickering and the jealousy and all of this animosity that shaitan tries to bring among you, because shaitan knows the value of unity. And it will keep on trying to break it. So keep in mind that you are in a battle with shaitan. Never lay down your arms. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, when he was passing away, he fell unconscious. And then he said, not yet, not yet, not yet. His son, Abdullah, was amazed. Because, you know, you might think that maybe his father was saying that I don't want to die yet. Which is not good. So when his father woke up, he said, oh my father, why were you saying not yet? Imam Ahmad said, Iblis came to me. Shaitan came to me and said, oh Ahmad, you've slipped out of my hands. Ahmad ibn Hanbal was telling him, not yet. Not until I die. The battle between me and you is not over yet. I'm not going to lay down my arms until my soul leaves my body. So let's all make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jalla and let's all ask Allah for forgiveness. Don't delay it, do it now. Ask Allah to forgive you and say, Astaghfirullah al-Azim wa atubu ilayh. Number 8, love among themselves. Love among the believers.
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا.
On those who believe and work deeds of righteousness, will Allah most gracious bestow love. Allah will make the believers love each other. But it's a struggle to get there. Because Shaitan doesn't care about the enemies of Allah. He doesn't care if they're united. In fact, he loves it when they're united.